The law. Welcome everybody back today. Well, I think of it committee, I did cancel tomorrow's meeting when we learned that we would be having a marathon session. Turns out we'll be having a break on the floor from 1 to 4, but we'll still keep our committee canceled, number one, because it's too late to repost, and number two, we'll probably all could use the rest anyway during that break. So no meeting tomorrow. Friday will be a full day, and then we will continue into next week for sure. Okay, let's begin at the top of the agenda with a public hearing on Senate Bill 379A. Council?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 379 authorizes the Attorney General to receive and respond to an offer to compromise pending or potential criminal charges in an investigation of violation of antitrust laws. I see that the Department of Justice is here, Mr. Chairman, to elucidate.
Shepherd and Arbentine?
Andy Aubertine.
Aubertine, oh sure, okay, welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Pete Shepherd. I'm the attorney in charge of the Financial Fraud Consumer Protection Section. That's the unit of the department within which our antitrust efforts are located. Mr. Aubertine is here today because he is our expert of some more than a decade experience in such cases. These antitrust cases might generally be described as cases in which the department is attempting to protect competition in the marketplace for the benefit of consumers and for entrepreneurs who want to compete on a level playing field. Occasionally, businesses seek to gain an unfair advantage in the marketplace by attempting some form of anti-competitive conduct. The statutes authorize the Oregon Department of Justice to pursue claims of anti-competitive conduct both as a criminal prosecution and as a civil matter. And these are unique in that ordinarily the Attorney General's office does not have direct criminal prosecution authority. But in the area of antitrust laws, the legislature has provided for many years that authority is vested directly in the Attorney General's office. Now, the problem that presents and the problem that the bill addresses is simply this. There is a general rule that an attorney may not threaten to bring criminal prosecution in order to gain advantage in a civil matter. Makes sense in a lot of contexts. In the context of the antitrust cases, it also makes sense. However, that general rule tends to be a deterrent to reaching a global resolution of charges that could be civil or criminal. So what we simply want to do is not repeal that general prohibition, but rather give a clear direction to defense attorneys and to assistant attorneys general that if a business that's under investigation for an anti-competitive act wants to approach us with a resolution that's a civil resolution rather than a criminal resolution, that we can entertain that offer. And that's really all that the bill does. It was critically reviewed in the Senate Judiciary Committee, subject to two hearings. I can report to you that the Oregon State Bar is not opposed to the measure, that is the gist of, I think, the summary of the bill. Mr. Aubertine and I would stand by for questions if the committee has any.
Thank you, Mr. Shepherd. Any questions for Mr. Shepherd or Mr. Aubertine?
That was easy.
Pete, can you just maybe give me a little bit more detail about what the nature of the amendment in the Senate was?
Mr. Chair, Representative Williams, the discussion in the initial hearing in the Senate, the concern was raised that the bill as drafted could have been construed wrongly as we viewed it, but nonetheless it would not have been an unreasonable interpretation to read it as having undermined the existing ethical rule in disciplinary rule 7104, which prohibits a lawyer from threatening criminal charges in order to gain an advantage in a civil case. The bill as originally introduced could have been read to imply that we were attempting or that the bill would have had the effect of undermining that rule. The amendments were intended to make it absolutely clear that that is not what is being authorized in this bill. Rather, we are just making it crystal clear that we can entertain such an offer if it comes from the defense attorney.
Right. Was it with that amendment? Had the bar originally expressed concerns about the bill prior to that amendment?
Mr. Chair, Representative Williams, I know that the bar representatives are here, and I don't want to mischaracterize their position. I do know that they had that was a question they asked about the intent of the measure.
Good. I apologize for having missed the first part of your testimony, Pete, but can you tell me about how many antitrust prosecutions do you guys do in a year?
Mr. Chair, I think Mr. Albertine would be better situated to answer that question.
Depending on the definition of prosecution, we receive between 20 and 30 complaints on average each year, and approximately half of those complaints will result in an open investigation. But only a handful of those will actually move to the posture where it's an investigation that deserves some enforcement action, some decision, which will either correct the conduct that we think was a problem in the first instance, or perhaps result in some payment of money as a penalty or as restitution or as monetary damages as part of the penalty aspect of that conduct. In most instances, those cases are what we call multi-state cases, where the conduct at issue affects more than one consumers or businesses in one state. But we do have the occasional local matter as well.
Anything else? Sorry for missing the end of the testimony, but between us, we've heard it all. Okay, does anybody else wish to testify on Senate Bill 379A? Anybody from the bar? Okay, that's fine. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 379 then and open a work session.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I would move Senate Bill 379A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williams moves Senate Bill 379A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Representative Bassman?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Berbelow?
Yes.
Representative Walker?
Yes.
Representative Wells?
Yes.
Representative Williams?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Excused.
Chair Shetterly?
Aye. Senate Bill 379A moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We need a carrier. Anybody I can trust? Representative Edwards, it's yours.
I resent
trust.
That.
Yeah,
no, no.
Did you get it?
Jeez.
Yeah, I resemble that.
Yes.
You know, they're bad when you start having to clarify for Ms. Granger
the jokes.
The jokes.
That's a bad thing.
Where's the hat?
Let's see. Dexter, we've already done Senate Bill 756.
Yes.
Did you need to see somebody?
Okay.
Hey?
We're kind of a casual group here. Let's go ahead to open a public hearing on, I'm sorry, work session on Senate Bill 268. We already had the public hearing on that. Council, you want to bring us up to date?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as the chair stated, we did take a public hearing on this bill some time ago. It is another Y2K bill. This time it applies primarily to public bodies. It creates an affirmative defense based on year 2000 failures of automated system and provides that it is a complete defense when public bodies made good faith efforts to avoid the year 2000 failures and describes what constitutes good faith efforts. Last time the committee met, there was some question about this and a similar bill, which has already gone through the body, as to how they define or rather label the quote-unquote Y2K problem. There is an amendment before you which doesn't address that issue, but I understand from speaking with Representative Edwards that there has been some at least analysis done in the Legislative Council's office as to why there ought not to be changes in those terms. And I can either give you that, Mr. Chairman, or let Representative Edwards discuss it further.
Well, I can speak to that. Committee, if you recall, one of the things we talked about last time we had this bill and the corresponding House bill, the House bill addresses the issue as a computer date failure. It doesn't speak of it as a Y2K or year 2000 problem. And so the question was, should we amend one or the other to bring the terminology into line between those two bills? We had an amendment drafted. I didn't, but an amendment came back drafted to change year 2000 failure to computer date failure throughout the bill. But it also came back with a memorandum from David Hendricks in Legislative Council pointing out that the relatings clause in this bill speaks of liability of public bodies for year 2000 failures. So our relatings clause will preclude an amendment to broaden the bill from Y2K to computer date failure. So it is what it is. Okay, is that, you were busy, is that?
Oh, no, that's, yeah, that's, you just aptly described that, Mr. Chairman.
And then we have the dash threes. Who requested those?
I think it was Randall and I. Both were concerned about sunset.
Yeah.
So that's simply a sunset.
Excuse me, Representative Edwards.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have Susan Lee here that has signed up. Want to come forward?
Welcome. Thank you, Chair Shetterly, members of the committee. I'm Susan Lee. I'm employed with Multnomah County. I apologize that we were not present at the public hearing. I am distributing a letter that was prepared by our risk manager that outlines some of the precautions that Multnomah County has taken towards Y2K failure issues. And all that I have to add to that is that Multnomah County believes that this bill is a good public policy as placing limits on the liability of public entities for potential Y2K losses is a reasonable protection of the taxpayers' assets.
So questions for Ms. Lee? I appreciate you putting that on the record.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Have you seen the A3 amendments, which put a sunset on? Do you have a position about those?
No, I have not seen those amendments, so we have not had an opportunity to review those.
Yes. Thank you.
Anybody else has seen it? Do you want to?
I've seen it.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. Representative Robillard, do you have a?
I would be happy to have staff review these, but I don't have any comments at this time.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Come on.
Yes.
It's not a question of the witness.
Okay, sure. That's okay.
In general.
Sure.
So I'll just
wait. That's fine. We're in work session, so go ahead.
Okay. I actually received a email that brought up a question, I think, that that's on validity, and I was looking to see. We don't have anything except the dash threes, right, to consider besides the main bill. And going back and looking at the bill, the issue was that the way they read the statute, this is another attorney who actually wrote this to me, and the good faith efforts could actually perhaps, the way it's written, take place in December, just before January 1st. And he thought that maybe reasonable would be better than good faith. And I went and looked at the statute, and it does say, makes a good faith effort to avoid failure. If before January 1st, 2000, doesn't say before, when before, moves to identify and so forth. And that established what good faith is. And the concern was in the email I received that you could argue that, you know, starting late is still good faith under the statute, and that could create some real issues. So I'm just throwing that out there for discussion.
Representative Evans?
Well, thank you. I guess, does that get us into the issue of, I mean, is a day, are you saying, is there a time certainty? Is that the email saying a good fix a week before or the day before is inadequate, so therefore we need to put some time certainty?
Well, it probably isn't from what I have read.
Right.
Yeah, I would think that yeah, that's a good point. I think it's a good question and probably good to have in the record if it should ever be looked at. But I think that an element of good faith would be that of timeliness.
Right.
I would, too, and actually he brings this up in the thing. If we hadn't so defined what good faith was, that there probably wouldn't be the problem that he thinks there might be.
I still think that, I didn't say, I think it's a good issue. I still think that timeliness is an element that overlays the rest of these features, because obviously what we're getting at here is a bona fide effort to remediate the problem so that they've done their best to avoid a failure, and something that would come in the last week of December, I think would be patently not in good faith. Representative Edwards?
Well, if you look under, beginning, of course, on line 9 on the first page, and then down in the sub A through E, those are, or F, you talk about actions that they've identified problems with. I mean, I don't think you could do that overnight.
Yeah.
So I think you're sort of talking about some effort there that's laid out. I mean, it's a good point. I think the intent, as we've described it, is pretty clear that they've gone through some motion and some thought about how they were going to make a good faith effort to avoid this.
But the only requirement is that if they do that, if they make this effort before January 1st, 2000. And, you know, I must say that when another attorney writes to you, and I know that it's a business attorney who argues these kind of things all the time in court, it makes you stop and think.
Yeah.
That why dig ourselves a hole?
Mr. Chairman.
I don't know.
Representative Williams?
I guess I'd go back to the fact that all we're doing here, we're not creating an immunity from suit. We're simply creating an affirmative defense,
right,
which means that the burden simply shifts a little bit. But I would argue that, you know, if you come in and you're able to show that they didn't do these things except, you know, let's say a week before the end of the year, that... you know, that affirmative defense isn't going to mean very much in the long run. So it's not barring the action. It's simply creating an affirmative defense. So I recognize the point that's made, and I don't necessarily think it's a bad one, but I think because it's an affirmative defense, and with the comments of the chair made with respect to how good faith would likely be interpreted under the listings here that couldn't necessarily be done in good faith within a week before the event, that it's probably, I would think it's probably fine the way it's drafted.
And I think a fail-safe element of this, too, is on line 20, where we have the documenting substantial implementation. So it's just not going to be possible to throw together a plan and some minutes of a board meeting in the last week in December and say, hey, we've done what we're required to do. The last element is substantial implementation of the plan. And that's really what we're after, is in terms of offering this as a carrot to public agencies, is to prioritize and develop a plan and then implement it to try to avoid it. And so I think that in itself is probably going to render that an unlikely scenario, that you'd see somebody coming in the last week in December and then trying to use this defense, because they're going to have to show how on earth they developed a bona fide plan and then substantially implemented it.
Well, let me say this. I would feel more comfortably went one step further, because actually what Representative Williams and what Representative Shetterly has done is basically give their arguments before the court about why it shouldn't be. I would like to have on record here, well, somebody else is arguing on the other side, I would like to have on record here that that there is no intent, at least on this committee's part, that efforts started shortly before January. We don't read January 1st, 2000 to mean that you can start your efforts a week before, and those are good things. I think at least if we have that, our intent as a committee, I would feel more comfortable.
I'm happy to say that I agree with you on that. That is not, in my mind, what Senate Bill 266 or 268 is at all about. And I would agree with you on that. And I'm happy to put, for the Court of Appeals and Supreme Court that will never read the record, I'm happy to place it there anyway.
The chair concurs on both points. Representative Lowe.
Thank you. I have several points that I'd like to make. And first is to the issue that was just addressed. And I don't pretend to be knowledgeable in the area of computers, but my son pretends. Well, I mean, but he works in the area. I don't think he's pretending. Sometimes things come up in the last week or two. You think you've worked out all the bugs, and then you keep doing the quality control engineer keeps doing its crash tests, and then they find a new way to crash it. So that That having been said, yes, there may be some things that they're still working on at midnight just before, or 1 minute to midnight. You better believe they're going to be in there working on those things. So that is something that we should not automatically set up lawsuits over when the public body is still continuing to try and make the system work in the event that a late bug is found. I would assume that this bill is coming to us in anticipation of failure of the system. We were 7 months away from the crash, or from Y2K. God help
please,
us if it's a crash. We're 7 months away.
Those of you on the internet listening.
Yes.
It will be okay.
Well, with me, the world is coming. We don't know the size of this thing, or even if it's going to be a whole home. But 7 months away, and they're seeking litigation. I think that we need. I mean, they're seeking protection from litigation. I think that we need to recognize that some of the danger dates have come and gone. There have been bugs that have come and gone. And we need to get it in the legislative history of this that we think that that this is not a late start. This isn't going to already be de facto proof that, you know, that they anticipate the system to fail and that this is the best they can do is to run for cover under legislation. So I'd like to hear a little discussion about that from the proponents of the bill, that there's plenty of time. And lastly, I'd like to have a little discussion about what public systems are they're concerned about. I would assume that the biggest bunch of litigation is probably going to come out of a failure of the 911 system, if any. And I'd like to hear some comment about that, if that's possible. Let's find the nature of the beast that we're trying
everybody
to
else is looking away.
Anticipate.
Your Honor, it's...
Members of the committee, good afternoon. For the record, Hasina Squires representing the Special Districts Association of Oregon. I'd like to just at least point out to this committee with respect to the timing issue of when you meet the standard of good faith. You know, there are A through F that we have to comply with in order to get the affirmative defense. And it's certainly not our intent that most of our special districts at least meet once a month, so you couldn't meet in December and by the end of December have documented substantial implementation of your program. But some city councils meet twice a month. But really, I think the thing that we want to emphasize is that regardless of when we start, and we would not encourage, our association would not encourage all of our members to go out and start in the middle of December. I mean, we'll be talking about this as soon as session adjourns and the bill signed, but there's a standard that you have to meet, and if you don't meet it, regardless of when you meet it or how you meet it, if you meet it, you get the affirmative defense. And so we would not be advocating that people wait until the end of December, because we don't think that they could probably comply with the standard that's expressed in this piece of legislation. Your second question about potential problems, and I think we had this, we brought up the same issue last time we met, about the 911 system potentially failing. Also, a lot of water and wastewater treatment plants, Representative Lowe, operate on timers and gates for influent and effluent flowing in and out of their plant. A lot of those types of systems are very technical and on some sort of schedule on when they need to mix the chlorine in the water treatment plant, and what goes into the water treatment plant is controlled by mechanical devices. And so,
I do remember me asking the question and you immediately talking about the wastewater problem, chlorination and so forth, but I would specifically like to hear about the 911 system and what...
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, I actually happen to represent the 911 Managers Association, and this is an issue that they have discussed at every quarterly meeting that I've been to in the last year or two. And the general feeling on behalf of the managers is that things will be okay if we have power. But a lot of the, again, a lot of the issues associated with the 911 system for, you know, there's a state 911 system, Office of Emergency Management controls that, and then there's all these other small primary safety public answering points that are, depend upon private sector providers for a lot of their paging systems, their radios, their dispatching, their, all of those issues are tied into the private sector. And so while a public entity might be compliant with Y2K and have tried to get letters from all of the vendors that they're dealing with in the private sector to make sure that their equipment will function, there's the potential that PGE will not have power, or Motorola will lose all of its cell towers, and then the 911 system won't be able to communicate with officers in the field. So,
thank you. Follow-up question, if I may. Thank you. Okay. Is there anything in the good faith effort provisions of this bill that you would take to mean that a system such as 911 would need to have a reliable backup plan in the event that their partners, their private partners, providers fail?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, I think I know what you're getting at, and I don't think I'm the person to answer that type of a question. I know that there have, that the Office of, I'm fairly certain that the Office of Emergency Management within the State Division, and perhaps maybe somebody from the state can answer this question better than me. I'm fairly certain that they're communicating with all of the local government entities, and I'm fairly certain that OEM has got some sort of a plan in place. But
I guess my question is, does this A engrossed Senate Bill 268 put that burden on the public entity, or is this more narrow and just addresses the crash of the computer systems?
I'm Judy James, the State of Oregon Risk Management Division. I'm the risk manager who is working on the Year 2000 project. You'll see in Senate Bill 268, one of the provisions is that the public agency must have identified resources at section, or number D, I'm sorry, line 17, available for addressing possible year 2000 failures.
And those are the resources that I'm talking about. And
those,
so that does mean other than computer type resources.
Yes. Okay. And as far as the 911 systems, my understanding from the Oregon Office of Emergency Management is that they are designed to be redundant and have backup systems. As long as they have power so that they can run, they have opportunities to continue to operate.
Thank you. I wanted to get that on the record. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? All right, thanks very much. And let's close the public hearing. I'm sorry, no, what am I doing? Stop it. I revoke that, rescind that bang of the gavel. We are still in, we are started in work session. We still are in work session.
Chairman?
Representative Williams.
I would move the, before I do that, Mr. Chairman, if I may, we really haven't had any discussion, no one asked to see her while she was here, but I'm assuming that their failure to say anything to the contrary, they don't have any objection to the -A3 amendments. Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I would move the adoption of the -A3 amendments to Senate Bill 268.
Representative Williams moves the -A3 amendments to Senate Bill 268. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none.
Mr. Chairman.
So ordered, Representative Williams.
I would move Senate Bill 268 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williams moves Senate Bill 268 and engrossed as amended by this committee to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion on that motion?
Yes, Mr.
Representative
Chair.
Walker.
I call my office, they're not in, but they're going to bring me down the file on 3245. Refresh my memory, did we pass that out?
We did. That passed on the floor
yesterday, Chairman.
That's what I thought. We've had so many bills lately.
Yeah.
That's the private sector, right? And this is the public sector.
Right.
Okay. I was just trying to remember why we had the two bills. All right. Thank
this
you.
This adds the affirmative defense to the Oregon Tort Claims Act for public bodies.
Okay. Well, and I just think it's very timely that I'm going to my neighborhood association meeting tonight, and on their agenda is Y2K. So I'll be able to update them.
Okay, Representative Wardlaw.
I was just going to say, when we're all living in the jungle in our survival outfits, we won't care anyhow.
That's right. I invite you all over to my basement on January 1st.
Representative Williams tells me he's storing up guns and ammunition. I don't have any guns, but I can buy the ammunition. But I just have to throw them at the neighbors as they come at us, I guess. toss the bullets. Okay.
I was joking, by the way.
Well, that's, I meant to present it that way. We have a motion before us to send Senate Bill 268A, as amended by this committee, to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Please call the roll.
Representative Backman?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Bergelau?
Yes.
Representative Walker?
Yes.
Representative Wells?
Yes.
Representative Williams?
Yes.
Representative Whit?
Excuse me.
Representative Sutherland?
Yes. Senate Bill 268A goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'll carry this one. With that, we will conclude the work session on Senate Bill 268. We have a busy day on Friday, so please plan on trying to be here on time on Friday. We'll get through the bills. I think we'll be able to make it, but it takes some effort. And with that, we are adjourned.